Yeah, thank you. Hello, everyone. I don't know this audience very well, so I'm just going to ask a couple questions from you. How many of you are KDE users here? Okay, by the end of this talk, how many people are going to be KDE users? That's the question. That's the question. Okay, cool. So I'm Andy Bitz, and I'm a designer for the KDE ecosystem, I guess, but mostly for Plasma, for the Plasma desktop. And I've been with the team for about, yikes, 25 years. And I'm originally from Chile, but I live in the United States. And yeah, that's what I do. On my day job, though, I'm a quality assurance manager. So I do something completely different. I'm going to use my phone a little bit because I have my notes here and I just want to hit some points and I don't want to forget. But I'm sure a few of you are familiar with design systems. Yes? No? Yeah? Okay, cool. Design systems is basically nothing more than basically your UI in code, but expressed in graphical means, right? For people like me who don't understand code very well. And we look into design systems because most of the times our work is kind of random and very varied. And you know, if you have 10 people in a room, there will be 10 different designs, right? And so you have to find a way to bring everything together, but it's not just graphics. I think one other thing that is very important for design systems is to have an ideological foundation about what you want to do. A lot of people, so, and this happens often in open source, right? We code first and we think UI later, and we think users much later, right? Or sometimes we're thinking that maybe the things that our assumptions are correct, right? We think, for example, well, you know, if I my users want to have, I don't know, an application that can play music, then therefore anything that looks like a play button will be good, right? You have to feature it. So these assumptions sometimes can play into the way we think. And as you know, you just saw in the previous talk, sometimes you face the reality of, I built this giant thing and it's amazing for like what we think is amazing, but then you put that to regular people and that teaches you a lesson, right? Sometimes it's hard to come back from that, but design systems aim to organize all that thought, aim to basically express graphically what your users need, and you basically have a much better time translating your work to actual code. That is actually what's been for me one of my biggest issues. Like, I can make graphics all day, but I can't code the way that my peers do at the Plasma team. And so trust me, I've tried, and it's not that easy. And kudos to them because they make amazing work. But the thing is that one of the biggest limitations in my ability to be successful with the Plasma team has been transferring graphics into code. So we thought also, and I think this is pretty real, that you can automate a lot of stuff with design systems, right? For example, I don't know if you all know, but in KDE, well, Plasma, we have the Breeze theme. Yeah? You get it? Okay, cool. We're talking about the same thing. And in the past, for example, many years ago, we built our current icon system. And the way it works code-wise is perfect, but graphics-wise, it's not. In fact, when I started working on design systems for Plasma, that was one of the biggest challenges. Our icons are just everywhere, and they don't have any kind of, you know, sort of like visual consistency, and not only that, technical consistency. So in the application that they were built back in the day, there is no, you know, sharing of information between one or the other icon, although they may look very similar. And so design systems are able to help you create patterns, componentize your patterns, and then apply very quickly, right? So one of the things that we did in Plasma, for example, is we created icons that have little like variant-oriented designs. So basically they vary the meaning of the icon. And we place them usually at the bottom right of the icon. Well, all of that you can componentize, right? If many icons use the plus sign, the minus sign, a cube, a circle, whatever it may be, you can just make a component that actually cuts the icon in that corner and places whatever you want. And we can do that very quickly, right? So one of the cool things actually that I want to try, and we're going to talk about this later in PenPod, is I wanted to basically have a way to export my work and show it to developers in an easier way. Right now, I don't have that, but the people from PenPod have been working on implementing an MCP server for the PenPod application, and you can actually follow some steps to export your work into a website builder thing called Storybook, and others can actually peruse your design system that way. Developers particularly, they just see the values that they're looking for since it's all coded already in the application. So this idea of automation in design systems is very important. It can really speed up the work. And not only that, it can make one designer feel like Superman, right? Because you can do so much more with a smaller team. And repeatable, sustainable is super cool. Now, the issue is, I think, and I hinted at this earlier, that we have an environment in open source that is generally code first. Code first, I'm gonna help you process this idea. Code first is should be code last, okay? So code last. Why? Because when designer, the cost is high, right? When developers are working on a giant, you know, application or feature, whatever it may be, usually the challenge is mostly about executing the idea, executing, you know, the feature that like you really want to work on. And then you push that onto some, I don't know, let's just say a GitHub repo where your application can be, you know, reviewed by an entity. In our case, it's Plasma, right? And the comments come back down to you about how your UI doesn't follow certain guidelines, how your labels are not right, how, you know, the placement is weird, how, you know, sometimes something that I do, I try to tell people about, you know, behavioral patterns that that regular humans have, and these are universal generally. So, and we say, okay, well, users tend to want to go faster, they want to read less, the users want to, you know, they prefer choices, but choices are powerful rather than 1,000 choices, right? So, and then the developer is confronted with this idea, and then you think, oh, gee, I don't want to do any of this. This sucks. I don't want to code anything. I did this application. Sometimes I've seen it too, like people get burned out because the UI becomes such a problem to you as developers that, you know, you just feel like, oh, gee, I mean, all I wanted to do was just develop a feature. I'm done. Like, this is not worth it, right? And so in my mind, I think, at least in Plasma, it's not always possible, but I feel like with a design system backing up our work, it may be much easier for designers in our group to connect with our developers and say, what is this idea that you want to work on? Let's build it in an inexpensive way, right? Man hours not coding, and this is, you know, you can destroy graphics all day, but you can't destroy an app all day, right? And so we can work on the graphics first and get to a conclusion on what you need, and then move on to the actual coding. It might actually make it much easier for you to code, because now you have a plan, right? When you don't have a plan, you work way too much. So another issue that we see in the landscape is that graphics is not a focus of open source, right? I'm sorry if I'm saying that, and there are some sensitivities here, but it seems to be that Linux in general as an ecosystem is geared towards, you know, high demand type of workflows. But we all want the year of the Linux desktop, right? So we are always looking into ways that we can bring this type of technology to just regular people, everyday people that can use this. I can say that maybe more of the United States that it's the situation. I know that in Europe, a lot of people actually, you know, live and breathe in open source all day, so that's fantastic. But in my landscape, it doesn't seem that way. So I think that design systems have the ability to connect a lot of basically bridge the gap with this problem of code first and working with design systems. Sorry. All right. So cool. Now, let's talk about Plasma specifically. So, when we were looking at some of the applications that we wanted to use for this, in fact, we didn't really start thinking about building a design system from the get-go. We were working on other graphics, and that led us to work on a design system after. But the landscape is also a bit lacking, right? We have things like Figma, and there were other applications like Lunacy or Acura that kind of try to do similar things to what Figma is doing. And then, of course, Penpot came along, and they all have their strengths and weaknesses, right? Figma is a good application, but it's a paid application, and it's diving into this world where they're locking up, or they're developing new features, and they're all locked. And so your basic plan no longer affords you anything. Then, for example, other places like other applications like Lunacy or Acura, they just sort of got a good start, but then they sort of mellowed out, and from what I can tell, they're not being developed very much. Then we landed on Penpot, which basically has most of what we need, if not all in some aspects. So that's the tool we chose. We started in Figma, but now so far we have migrated all of our graphical assets into Penpot. Another problem that I think we have in the KDE Plasma team is that I can say that maybe we have like true graphic designers. It's probably a very small number, like maybe 3 or 4 people in our group, whereas we have like a 90% coverage of developer work, right? In our developer. So that's a big thing, a big mountain to climb, especially when you want to talk about, you know, how your development needs to go. Not everyone takes that very easily. But what that means also is that, for example, in Plasma, we generally spend we do a huge effort to just get off the ground with code. And then generally, because of our geography, I guess, in our team, it's hard for us to basically bridge the gap. Because we in Plasma, I don't know if you know, but we have like more than 4 different frameworks that we use. And so generally, our developers tend to code multiple times so that the same application looks the same in different frameworks. And of course, as you know, not all frameworks are created equal. So you may have something that looks really good in Kirigami, but looks terrible in Qt-Quake, right? And you have to make it work. So what, at the end of the day, what that amounts to is that there are developers who are spend a great chunk of time just coding. And that in itself makes us basically develop smaller features, just smaller changes for the public, and we can't scale. So design systems actually have the ability for you to sort of remove the UI aspect and the UX aspect away from developers so that they focus on coding. So that's generally the gap, and we were talking about some of the applications that we're working on. But next is our strategy. So what is our thing? We started by making icons, like I mentioned before. We actually don't use a standard 24-pixel icon as our base. We use 22, and that's probably a sin in the graphic world. So somebody asked me if I could create 24-pixel icons to up the level of our 22-pixel and just move them out of there because they're not divisible by 8 very well. And so I started doing that, and very quickly I realized, hey, the base of all these icons is not great. You know, we should do something much bigger than just, you know, make 24-pixel icons. So what I did is I redesigned all of them. So I was like, let's just toss it all out and just start over. So we did that, and not only that, we created basically, like, that's where the system started creeping in, because we started making icons that were repeatable. So with just small variations, I was like, I just need to go faster. So I started making icons, different components, and from then on, we made the jump to an actual design system. So our icons are done, mostly. I'm finishing application icons, and those are the pretty ones, right, that you see mostly on our taskbar. On our panel, and then we started building just basically the main things that power a design system: typography, color, shadows, focus rings, all this stuff. Typography, did I say that? And then we moved on to the next layer, which is asset creation. So we built buttons, progress bars, scroll bars, drop downs, text fields, checkboxes, radio buttons, all of that, with the powered up by tokens. So super cool. And like I said, we ended up moving into Penpot, and now we have a more federated location where more designers can go into. I can provide access as well. I created a repo where all of these assets are posted. And you may be thinking that I was building Breeze, but actually we're building a new system that looks different than Breeze, and it's called Ocean. So if you would like to see some of that, you're welcome to check out the visual design system or just my repo. Just go to invent.kde.org/andi.tosan, Andito San, okay, Andito San, and you'll get an early preview of our icon, our new icon style, our new typography, our new plasma style, and our colors. So take a look. Now, I will caveat that by saying that all of that is applied into Breeze, and Breeze does not look like Ocean. So take it with a grain of salt, but at least you can see some of our icons. So all of that leads us to where we are now. And we're in a much more robust location. We're building a design system that is soon to be applied. I don't know if you've heard also, but in Plasma, we're working on a new engine, a coding engine called Union. Yes? No? Okay, I'll let you know. So in Union, we're trying to unify our 4 to 5 frameworks so that developers code once, but it looks the same in all frameworks. And Ocean will be coded in using Union. But Union still is working on a developer preview, so we're also waiting on Union. But after that, and I got some assurances from the Plasma team earlier this week, that we may be seeing more construction of Ocean assets in about 3 to 4 months from now. But so far we have a button, so that's a good start. Now, from all of this, I think we've learned a lot of stuff, and that it's, you know, first of all, we need to improve a lot. We need to do better. We need to do a lot more than what we have, but our design system, as far as Ocean goes, is mostly complete. We're just basically, today, we're just building like more complex UI in the design system, but again, since none of it is actual real code, there's not a ton of incentive to just, you know, kind of pile up and keep growing this design system, because I'm pretty sure that when we try to apply some of this, there's going to be a lot of challenges and we're going to have to change things. So I just want to keep it at that level for now. And so, like I said, if you have any questions, reach out. I will, like I said, you can go to our repo, you can connect with me there. You can also join our KDE visual design team. And have I convinced you yet that you can use or install KDE on your machine? A bit? Okay, I heard a yes. That to me is a yes. Okay. Awesome. Well, that's my talk. Thank you so much. Ten minutes for questions? Okay, cool.
Question right in the front?
Yes. I was wondering, so you guys moved from Figma to Tampa. How was that move? That's a shift that I know that we are also looking forward to.
Yeah.
We just want to get prepared for it.
So you'd like to know how the Figma transition to Pempo was? It's actually pretty seamless. So a few months ago, Pempo released variants. So now you actually can sort of do the same process that you do on Figma, where you create one asset, then you link another one below it, and you make some modifications and another. You can do that in Pempo too. So with that, we built our, I don't know if I can show it. Do I have it? No, I put it away, my bad. But we put all of our stuff there. So once we were able to do that, it was much easier, because at the end of the day, design systems are nothing more than state representations of your assets. And once that was available, it was easy to just like create a button and then create 20 more that with different states and just be done. And then the other thing was tokens. Figma actually has tokens kind of on the side. It's sort of a side menu to them, and they have a combined with their variants idea. And for us, tokens is better, because tokens is actually what the developers are going to use to implement something. So in Pempo, they integrated Token Studio, which is just a plugin in Figma, but in Pempo, it's actually native. And so you can build tokens natively from the get-go, and we already set up all the ideas around, you know, how we name our tokens. We're actually following many of the ideas found in Android design systems, because this seems to be the most complete and available thing you can read. So we're using some of those ideas as well in Ocean. So yeah, it's super easy. I would say go ahead and do it. Give it a shot. Yeah.
How does it work? The functional flow between developers and designers.
How does the flow work between devs and designers?
For example, by using Pempot or...
Yeah, exactly. So
between them.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so he's asking, okay, my bad. I'll go fast.
Okay.
So the question is, what is the transfer between design to code? So generally what you do is, you would create out of all of your tokens, you can export this list of tokens, and create a JSON file that just describes all of them. That's all it is. And then somewhere you, in your development locations, you can decide where it's best to put your files, your design files, whether to break them up or whatever you want to do as a developer. And then somebody, an integrator, some kind of designer, developer, an in-betweener person, can actually code your designs by referencing either the PenPod UI, because you can actually click one of the any of the assets and see all the details, and replicate it. Or the other option was what I was talking about earlier, is you can actually export the, well, you can run an MCP server on PenPod and collect all the data that is needed to create something called a storybook, which is basically a UI, a web-based UI explanation of your assets. And developers can actually reference that. And since it all runs on the web, you can actually, for in some instances, for some of the components, you can say, okay, well, the radii of this one should be like 24, 25, and you can experiment with that there without ever touching the graphics. So those are two methods that you can do. We're actually going to investigate some of that when we're done, when we actually can get off the ground. But as far as the developer that was working with me on building the button that we have for Ocean, he said it was much easier. All he had to do was just look up the variables, I mean, sorry, the token, design tokens that we created, and that's all that they needed.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.